Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. All right, we're back on the air. I'm sorry, folks. We have some mix-up. Princess died today. I think that's one of the reasons why we were trying to get more information on that. We're trying to get more, be more vigil on that. So, I mean, it's a shocker all over the world, folks. What can I say? He was prolific. I mean, we've lost a lot of people so far. And it just keeps happening and happening. I mean, it was totally a shock to me. Totally unbelievable. I had a problem doing the show because I didn't want to believe what was happening. I remember the first time I found out about it, I actually found out about it on Facebook. And it's... this is one of my favorite tunes.
You and I engaged in a kiss that swells this body.
All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm sorry if there was any breaking up or cracking. Prince is dead. The music icon Prince is dead at 57 years old. That was a shocker to me and a shocker to most just about anybody who's, I mean, anybody in the world. I mean, because we all have listened to Prince's music. And it's a shocker. They saying that he was found at his Parsay Park compound in Minnesota. And I remember just a few days ago, I was listening to the news, and they had said that Prince was feeling ill on his plane, so they made an emergency stop at the hospital. So I'm thinking it's probably nothing. You know, that's what I'm, well, okay, well, he's probably got a cough or something. And, you know, and next thing I know, they're saying that he was released, and now he's dead. That's the same thing. I've heard with James Brown. I heard he went to the dentist, and his dentist told him to go to the doctor. And so James Brown walked in a hospital under his own power, and he never walked out. I mean, we are losing artists, musical artists. I mean, they are just, I mean, it's phenomenal how we're just losing our music. Music will never be the same without Prince. It'll never be the same without Michael Jackson. It will never be the same without James Brown. I mean, these people, they're dead, but their music is still alive, but we will never hear anything new from them. It will never be anything current because music is always changing. And the current climate of music, in my estimation, is dismal. We are losing pop stars, blues stars, B.B. King. I mean, how? What is it? I mean, it must be like the Righteous Brothers sang a few years ago. There must be some sort of rock and roll heaven, because if there is, these guys are having a ball up there. These guys are having a ball. You know, because every time you look around, somebody is dying. The music is gone. The music is dead. In some cases, we've lost so many good people. We have just lost Prince. We have just lost Prince. Wow. That is totally, I'm hearing he wasn't married. I don't know if he had any kids or not. We're still waiting on the autopsy to find out what is the cause of death. He's 57. He was 57 years old. 57, that's young. Especially compared to me, that's young. So my thinking is, was the flu the cause of his death? It had to be more than just the flu, because I even get the flu. A lot of people get the flu. That don't mean they're going to die from it. But the flu can be deadly if it's not treatable. But still in all, it sounds a little bit flimsy. So we're going to wait for the autopsy, because that's going to tell us the cause of death. You know, they say it was found in an elevator. I mean, this is crazy. We have lost some of the most iconic superstars. Prince is the latest. Michael Jackson, James Brown, Rick James, Luther Vandross, Joe Cocker, Lou Rawls, Wilson Pickett. I could go on and on and on. Whitney Houston. We have lost, and we're still losing. Etta James. I can go on and on and on and on. Every, what was this country star that recently passed? I can't think of his name, but he recently passed. He was in the music. He was in jail for 3 years, and he wanted to do country music. Johnny Cash. And he was an inmate in, and he, I can't think. I think of his name before the show is out. But anyway, we're losing so many great musicians, and I don't know what to say. In some cases, I'm thinking about my own mortality. You know, I'm saying, wait, I guess it's going to be my time to go pretty soon, because we all die. I mean, no one is going to get out of this alive. Not one of us. Everybody is going to pass away, but we don't have to pass away at an age. We don't have to die at an age where, you know, where we could be living a long time. If you die at a young age, that means something was wrong. Something was not right within your system. You know, there's people, Guy Hamilton, he died today. He was the director of 4 James Bond movies. He died. He was 93. Now, when someone dies in their 90s, you say, so when somebody dies in their 50s or even their 60s, you're saying, wow, what happened? What caused this? Was it a heart attack? Was it a stroke? Was it diabetes? You know, you never know. And or was it some other deadly disease that they died from? You know, then some people like Raymond, she was 90 years old. She died in her sleep. For me, I think that's the best way to go, is to die in your sleep. I mean, there's no, you just go to sleep and you never wake up, you know, and that seems like a good way for me, but I'm still reeling. And apparently my radio show also is reeling at the death of Prince, because the computer is acting up also, because the computer's feeling pretty bad too. It's acting up. So I think it took me around. I apologize. The death of Prince, 1958 to 2016. He died today. This is April 21st. This is a day that will live in infamy. Yeah, April 21st. This is a day that will live in infamy in the music world. You know, I mean, people are just. It's a shame, you know, that's happening, because the music of today, like I said before, it's not the iconic music of Prince. It's not the music of James Brown. It's not the music of Michael Jackson. It's not the music of Barry White. It's different. These guys were soulful. They were groovy. You know, they were soulful, they were groovy, and they were talented. I mean, I think it takes more than just a person having a good voice, a magnificent voice. That helps, but the band has got to be groovy. The band has got to, you know, get it on the good foot. You know, that today's music, I don't think it's can compare in any way, shape, or form to the music back in the day of Prince, James Brown, Michael Jackson, you name it, Ronnie Millsap, a lot of these people, George McRae. I mean, I can go on, because I could go on and on, Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, the Temptations. This music was iconic, this music, and most of those people have gone. I believe Smokey is still with, he's around 75, 76 years old. Barry, Motown, Berry Gordy is still with us. He's in his 80s, maybe approaching his 90s. For people are passing away. The music is dying every day. The Supremes. I could go on and on and on. Edwin Starr. You know, I could go. I mean, Don Covey. I mean, Aretha Franklin is still with us. She gave her condolences to the. She gave her input on the death of Prince, and also Chaka Khan. The music is just gone. It's gone. And like I said before, Prince, Michael Jackson, James Brown, Rick James, Luther Vandross. I mean, he was a love icon. He was it. But we knew of Luther Vandross' troubles with his weight and his illnesses. And sometimes he would abruptly lose weight. I think that's something that affected his health. He was only 54 years old, and that was young. That was totally young for Luther Vandross. And what can I say, folks? It's just pitiful that. So we're going to be talking in and out of this just about the entire episode about Prince. We do have a guest. I don't know if he's a doctor or not. Matthew Anderson, maybe romance expert. Interferences happen. All right, listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the day that Prince died. Wow, that is something. If I can talk about Prince a little bit more, one of his favorite songs I mean, he's made plenty of, he's made a lot of songs. He recorded a lot of songs. He's done a lot of concerts. But one of his, my favorite songs is probably When Doves Fly, the song I just got through playing. That's one of my favorites. And I remember way back in the day going to see the movie Purple Rain, which he directed and produced and starred in. You know, and there was another movie, I can't think of it, but I don't think he made more than two or three. And he did the soundtrack for the Batman movie starring Jack Nicholson and Michael Keaton. He did the soundtrack for that, and I have that. I actually have that. He was, I mean, I was just shocked. I couldn't believe it. When I first logged on into Facebook, that's the first thing I saw was Prince is dead. And I'm saying, wow, is this a joke? Then it stayed on my mind. I said, I got to go check this out. I got to go see if this can be verified. And lo and behold, it was totally verified. Suddenly, social media started lighting up. Prince is dead. Prince is gone. All of a sudden, then the network national breaking news was all over the place. And it still is as I speak. It was just all over the place. It's crazy, folks. We are losing our iconic musicians. You know, it's just happening. What do we have? I mean, what do we have now? What we got? Jennifer Lopez, Miley Cyrus, Adele, on and off, Janis Jackson. Give me a break, folks. Jazz is just about dead. Dead is Miles Davis. I wrote a fictional book called, I believe it's called Back in the Groove, Back in the Groove, and the certain part of that book talks about a criminal, Jack Brown, taking control of a radio station in the city of Chicago, him and his hood, and demanding that this particular radio station go back to playing jazz because it had changed his format over from jazz to a talk show. And he was holding everybody hostage and demanding that the station go back to playing their original format, which was jazz. You know, so if you want to know anything more about that, go pick up that book. It's on Amazon.com. It's called Back in the Groove. And I thought about that book. Every time I think about jazz, I think about that book. Parts of it, anyway. It's a good book. It's filled with lots of action. On the first page, there's a jailbreak. He's breaking out of jail. But it's a worth a read. It's called Back in the Groove. I don't think I have any reviews for it. It's tough getting reviews, and if you should download and read the book on your Kindle or on your computer or whatever, be kind enough to, or any book or anything that I've written, be kind enough and leave a review. Okay, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. on the George Wilder Jr. Show, Blog Talk Radio. You can find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and I'm all over the place. So if I sound a little shaken up, folks, I am a little shaken up because Prince has died. I used to think of Prince and Michael Jackson as rivals. I thought they were, you know, it seemed like when they were in their prime that they were competing against each other. And I'm sad to say, but I've always chosen Michael Jackson over Prince. But, you know, as I've gotten older, I'm saying, well, you know, there is no comparison. These were both great musicians, and now they're gone. Michael Jackson went at the age of 50. And now Prince is gone at the age of 57, and it's rough. And this is a special show. I'm doing a special show here. So, you know, so I don't know if we're going to have a guest today or not. This is totally, totally, I'm still thinking about it, folks. It's shocking. Totally shocking. Okay, looks like we're having some difficulty. Okay, there we go.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. We're talking about the death of Prince. And I didn't know he had three names, Prince, Rogers, Nelson. I actually thought Prince was his stage name. I didn't know that it was his real name until now. It's amazing what you can learn about people after they're passed away, after they're gone. It's amazing that you can learn so much about people. And these folks that you've known for a long time, you've known of their music or talent or whatever they have done, that the legendary Prince, the legendary music, I'm reading this, okay, so I'm a little taken back by it. Prince, a legendary musician who brought us countless hits such as Purple Rain and When Doves Fly, my favorite, has died. He was 57. The singer's publicist confirmed the tragic news on Thursday. And I quote, "It is with profound sadness that I'm confirming that the legendary iconic performer Prince Rogers Nelson has died at his Paisley Park residence this morning at the age of 57, the rep said in a statement. There is no further details as to cause of death at this time. That is what I'm waiting on. I'm waiting on the autopsy report to find out what happened. He was 57, folks. That's young to me, but you know other people, he's old. That's not old at all. 97, 98 is old, okay? It is something, folks. It's something. All right, let's go to the phones. All right, you on the George Wilder Jr. Show.
Hi, George.
Matthew Anderson. Hey, thanks, man. I didn't know if you were going to show up or not.
I'm glad that you're here. I was dialing the number, and for some reason it didn't work for a while, so I went into a panic, but I finally figured it out.
Okay.
So here I am.
All right. You're here. So tell everybody, my listeners, your fans, tell us about yourself. Short bio.
The short bio is I just finished and came out with my new book called The Resurrection of Romance. And it's called The Resurrection of Romance, How to Create and Sustain a World-Class Romantic Relationship that Lasts a Lifetime. I wrote the book because I've been a writer for a number of years and I work with couples for a very long time. And about half my coaching practice is couples. And I spend a lot of time working with couples about what's wrong and what the difficulties are and what keeps them from having a good relationship and what their problems are. And then about 5 years ago, I fell completely, totally head over heels in love and went into that space of the incredible romantic relationship that I think most people go to, at least at first. And like most people, I think I believed that after a while it would die, it would kind of lose its energy, lose the glow, lose all of that. And it didn't do that. And it kept being better and better and incredible and wonderful and ecstatic. And after about 3 years of that, I said, I got to start taking some notes about what's working for us. And so finally, last year, near the end of the year, I put it all together in a book. And so the book is about how you take positive things, apply them to your relationship, and how it really brings you to a higher state of romantic connection, which involves some very deep intimacy, involves incredibly meaningful sexual encounters with each other. It's just a really wonderful kind of experience. And so that's the essence of what I'm excited about.
Wow, you sound great. I mean, I'm looking at how to become a world-class romantic lover, and I'm going to ask you. Now, who wouldn't want to be a first-class world, a romantic lover? I mean,
I think that's a really good question. Who wouldn't want to be?
Yeah.
You know, because it is so great when it's working right, you know? And the truth of the matter is, I think a person, people who have either been in love or in love now, or want to be. Because for me, and I think this is true about most people, it's the most incredible, one of the most incredible experiences a person can have in their lives. And when you really give yourself to it, it can really make you a far better person than you've ever been. So I get very fired up about it. For example, one of the things that the professional literature is that psychologists and therapists often say is that when you really fall in love with someone, it's an illusion. And I do not think that. I believe exactly the opposite. I believe when we fall in love with someone, it's a gift, and we are given like a divine gift, and we're given the ability to have what I call the eyes of love, and that we see the other person in their absolutely best state. And that's one of the reasons we love being with them, is because they bring out the best in us. And if we pay attention to Go ahead.
I was going to say, so you're saying that just about anybody can wind up being a world-class romantic lover, even me. I just love that, man. I'm thinking of somebody named Casanova or something. I don't know.
I don't want to say this in a way of putting you down, but yes, you. I mean, somebody who applies the rules of what works. Yes, you can elevate your relationship to an incredible level if you do what works.
Yeah, of course.
And it does not have to die. The glow does not have to go away. That's one of the big things that I'm trying to put forward by publishing this book and sharing this book with people is you doesn't have to die. After 5 years of being with somebody, you don't have to be saying, oh, yeah, it's the same old, same old. It doesn't have to be like that. It can be better than it ever was.
I mean, you know, if I'd have known about this book, if I'd have known about you, maybe my marriage would have worked. I don't know. But
so where is it? Where are you now in your love life?
Yeah. Most individuals have a little to no idea about what it takes to be a world-class romantic lover.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's true.
How would you show them?
Well, one of the things that I teach my couples that I work with is if you love someone, one of the first things that we want to do when we really love someone is to treat them like they're precious. I want to introduce them to that word, precious. If something is precious to us, we treat it differently than something that we take for granted or something we don't care about in terms of our material possessions, but also in terms of relationships. When we fall in love with another person, we should see that person and the relationship as precious, and we want to treat it like it's the most precious thing we've ever been given. If we begin to have that attitude, we don't badmouth that person. We don't curse at that person. We don't talk bad about them or to them. We try to treat them as special and I would say to the point of thinking this relationship is sacred. I think it's really important. One of the simple things that I teach people that I work with is this whole idea that words matter. And what I say to them, this old thing that we've been taught when we were kids, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not true. Words can devastate us. Yes, and so how I talk to my loved one matters.
You bet.
You know, it matters how we talk to each other. And if I talk to you in tones and in attitudes and in words that convey that I care about you, it starts to create a flow back and forth, a meaningful flow. Another thing I teach people is about affirmation. For example, I'll say to somebody, okay, so you got a girlfriend. How many positive things can you tell me about that person in the next minute? If they can't come up with 20 at least, they need some work. Because if we love someone, we should be thinking about a lot of really positive things about them.
Mm-hmm. Most romantic relationships never reach their full potential due to the lack of romantic guidance.
I really think that's true. And, sadly, we often grow up in families where maybe they fell in love at one point, but they didn't really know how to sustain it. So they fall into kind of what we call in my business habituation, meaning we fall into habits of being together. So we do the same things, the same times, the same kind of ways. And by doing that, we lose touch with the specialness of each other and the specialness of the relationship. So we can break out of that, but it takes some conscious effort. And that it does work, though. It really, if my attitude is, if you loved each other at one point, you can get it back. Usually that's the case. Now, if you say to me, well,
I bet you have a lot of. I bet you have a lot of clients, a lot of people wanting your services.
Well, enough. but one of the reasons I wrote the book is I wanted to expand that. I wanted to expand that possibility for people.
Yes.
And nowadays, when we've got Skype and we got FaceTime, I work with a lot of couples around the country. You know, I sit with them and we. On the video on the internet, it's really fantastic. It works great. They don't have to be right face to face with me in my office.
Yeah. Do you have an excerpt of your book you would like to share?
Oh, that's a good question.
I mean, if you don't, it doesn't matter.
Let me tell you what the book is, what it looks like, and that is, I have two different things that I did with it.
Okay.
It's a little different from the average book in that I have a number of topics that I write about, sort of intellectually, almost in the sense that I've been describing to you. And then after that, I quote a couple. Mm-hmm. I write a dialogue between a couple. Their names I put in the book are Michael and Diana. It's a real couple, but they talk about the subject. And so if we're talking about the eyes of love, for example, which I brought up already, I can give you a little piece of that I can share with you. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay.
This is fine.
Chapter 25 in the book. It's called The Eyes of Love. Romantic love is the every person's opportunity to experience divine grace. And as such, it brings a gift that has divine qualities. Grace falls like rain and soaks the heart of one who is then blessed with this love. This grace, this love, brings us a gift of new sight by which we can see the other, our beloved, with divine eyes. In this state of heightened awareness, we're able to see our beloved as she or he truly is, in all his or her wonder and beauty, and lifted and filled with the same love can see us as we are. That's the essence of what I think is maybe one of the most important parts of this gift of falling in love. I really do believe it's a divine gift.
Yeah.
And we don't force it. It comes to us. It's a gift. I like to think of it as a gift from God. And the wonderful thing about it is anybody can experience it. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how much money you got or don't have, it can come to us. And when it does, I think the best thing for us to do is to be prepared for it, to prepare ourselves. And I think the best way for that is for us to ask ourselves the question, how much love can we tolerate?
Oh, well, if you're asking me that question, I can tolerate all the love I can get.
That's good. That's good. Are you looking now? Are you looking for love now?
Oh, I'm just being, Mike, Matthew, I'm just kind of being sarcastic. That's it. That's about it.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, here's mm-hmm. the thing. The research says that most of the people, a large number of people, large percentage of people who win the lottery big, in
yes.
5 to 7 years, it destroys their lives. They're worse off than when they started. And the psychological reasons for
that. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. It's a bad thing to happen to most people, ultimately. And the psychological reason for it is they can't tolerate going from $50,000 a year, for example, to $50 million. It's beyond their ability to manage. Now, a person works for their money and earns it, builds a business and gets it, they usually are okay with it. But somebody who gets it overnight, they don't have an internal container big enough to tolerate it.
You know what?
So
I can understand that. You're saying that you're right about that. I would think that a person that's working, for their paycheck is going to manage their money a little bit better than someone who's going to win the lottery, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So what happens to a person is going through their life, just kind of getting by, and all of a sudden love comes to them in a bigger and more glorious fashion mm-hmm. than they ever imagined. And Mr. or Miss Wonderful shows up and says, I love you. I'm just so crazy in love with you. You're a fantastic person. And a part of us goes, I don't know about that. And then we start.
So you don't really think that money can buy love?
I don't think that. No. It can buy sex.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You don't think money can buy love, do you?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't think money can buy true love.
I agree. I live in an extremely affluent community in South Florida. And I periodically have clients who are really, really wealthy. I'm talking about multimillionaires. I'm talking about even sometimes billionaires that I work with on occasion. Not every one of my clients is like that, but we have a lot of money here, and sometimes they show up on my doorstep. And money, that kind of money, is really hard for most people to deal with, because if you have a lot of it, for example, you don't know who to trust. You don't know if they want to be with you or your money.
Yeah, yeah.
And relationships, people get attracted to people with money because it has power and excitement and all of that. It's easy if you don't have a lot of depth to confuse that with love. But then after a year or two or three or four, they start saying, I think I want to call Matthew because you're a mess and I don't like you so much and I don't know why I picked you to start with, kind of thing. So,
Matthew,
money,
are you working on a second book?
I am. You are? Am I working on a second book?
Are you working on a second book?
I've not gotten there yet because I just started in the past couple of months to promote this one. So it will come, though. I mean, it's not the last one. I have I'm in the fourth year of a 33-year plan. And part of that plan was to write some books. And so this is the first book as part of the plan. But there will be more.
What do you think about the writing process?
I think it's a really interesting process, and I think that for every writer, it's a different one. And I have clients who are very creative, a lot of them. I like to work with artists and creative people, and so I like to encourage people to be creative. Writing, some people can sit down and write for hours, and some people. The first book I got published was in 2000, came out in 2001, and I was writing then for a weight loss company called eDiets.com, which was then the biggest eDiets weight loss company on the internet. And I got a call from a publisher, and they asked me if I wanted to write a book about the subject, and I wrote a book called The Prayer Diet. It was about prayer and weight loss, and spirituality. And I wrote it in 10 weeks.
Okay.
And I worked Friday, Saturday, and Sunday mornings, 4 hours a day. It was fast. I don't recommend that kind of speed, but they wanted me to get it out fast, and I was excited about it. I took a little longer to write this one. But some people, you know, some people can write all day long. I can't do that. I have to write in like 2-3 hour spaces of time, put it down, do something else, come back maybe later or the next day. You write too?
Yeah, I write. I've got several projects up on Amazon.com. I'm also, you know, a prolific writer.
Oh, yes,
I'm sorry. I've been doing it for years.
I did see that. Yeah, you've got a lot of them. I did look at that. Some of them are children's books?
Yeah, some of them. I mean, it's not as a children's – no, I haven't written a children's book yet.
Oh, that's good. You know, I think writing children's books is hard.
Yeah, I do too, because there's one of the things is I think it's such a broad market out there for children's books. And, you know, it seems like everybody's writing a children's book. But the book you've probably seen, it's not a children's book. It was it's a parenting book.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a parenting book. And I love writing. I love writing. I get off on it. It reduces stress. Sometimes I'm like you. I have to take my time and write. I can't do it quickly like some people can. Some people can write a book in a week. I can't do that. You know, I have to.
Yeah. No, I think
I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that if I tried.
Well, you always got one you're working on? You always have something that you're writing? I mean, a book you're writing on, working on?
Yeah, I'm always working on something because I love to write. Matthew, can you tell us where we can find and pick up your book?
The easiest place to pick up my book is to go to Amazon.com and type in The Resurrection of Romance, and then it will show up either at Kindle or in the paperback version. That's the easiest way. The second way is you can go to my blog on my website, which is the same name as the book, TheResurrectionOfRomance.com, and you will get a link to buy the book, but you also will get a number of articles about relationships and some videos that I have there that I put together, brief 4, 5, 6 minute videos, but some good articles about relationship and how to find the right person if you're looking for Mr. or Ms. Right, and a number of other articles that I post, and I post them regularly. I work with a lot of single people about helping them in the process of finding relationships. But that's the easiest way.
All right. All right, folks.
The Resurrection of Romance.
All right, folks, if you want to learn how to become a world-class romantic lover, pick up this book. You know, because I'm going to go check it out. I really am going to go check it out. I mean, Matthew, man, I mean, I think you hit on something right here. I really do.
George, you send me your mailing address.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you a book. Man, you're going to get a paperback. I'm going to send you one. You don't have to go and buy
you
it.
Got
I'll
some.
Send it to you.
It doesn't matter. You know, thanks for being on this show. All right.
My pleasure, sir.
No problem. Bye bye. All right, that was Matthew Anderson, and he published a book on how to become a world-class romantic lover. You guys check that out, all right? We will be right back on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Okay, do we have... Okay, here we go. All right, the great Prince, he has passed away today, and it makes you think that any one of us, we could die at any moment, any day, at any time. It doesn't matter who you are, what you are, black, white, yellow, green, we do not have that much time on earth. The only thing you can do is to live your life to the best that you can. That's what we all have to do, to live our lives to the best that we can. You may be born, you know, good looking. You're going to lose your looks. Nobody's going to stay good looking or handsome forever. You know, I mean, you may have a lot of money. You may wind up broke as the years go on. Everything changes. Nothing stays the same. It always changes. Sometimes it changes for the good. Sometimes it changes for the worst. But realize this, it will change. And like I said at the beginning of the show, I think about my own mortality. I mean, because people are dropping dead all around me. Good people, great people, wonderful people, talented people, giving and loving people are dropping dead every single day. And you're looking at yourself, wow, why am I still here? You know, and to my left, as I'm sitting in my studio right now, there's tributes all over everywhere for Prince, and rightly so. The guy's going to be missed, you know, because he, just like so many other artists, he died doing what he loved. He died right up to the moment that he was, you know, making music. He made music. He was still doing it. He had concerts on the map. And from my understanding, he canceled a lot of his concerts because he wasn't feeling well. And I'm speechless. I don't really know what to say. You know, I started playing his music, and, you know, but that playing his music is not going to bring him back, you know, I mean, but it will always remind us what a great musical talent Prince was. We're talking about Prince in the past tense. Prince is dead, and but his music lives on. His music lives on. He has four albums that he's made in 1 or 2 years, four albums. So he's got new music out there, current music. So, you know, we can check that out. You know, a lot of times we never really heard of any of his current music, except for maybe if you go watch him in concert, because a lot of times the radio will not play it. The radio will not play a lot of the old school music that we used to listen to growing up, because music changes, you know, it's always an evolution. It changes like Chicago's weather. Right now I'm in my studio, folks, if I can divert, I'm in my studio and I'm looking up at the clouds outside of my studio, and they look menacing, as if it's going to be tornado, hurricane, twister, all wrapped up in one that's going to hit this side of town. I don't think it's going to be that dramatic, but I do believe it's going to storm. And we all got to look out for that. But today has been a devotion of this show, the George Wilder Jr. Show, even though I did have on a guest earlier. This show is devoted entirely to Prince and the musical icons. All right, let's move right along. If we can, because his death happened so suddenly. I didn't believe it. I found out on Facebook. And then I had to go try and verify that, because a lot of things you read on Facebook are lies. So I had to go and verify that. And sure as hell, it was the truth, because I didn't believe it. I mean, I'm like a million other people around the world. I did not believe it. I did not believe in that. And it's always something when you learn something about somebody that you never knew personally, except for the music. I didn't know that he lived in Minnesota, for instance. I thought it was California. I mean, where all the talented stars, live. And by being in Minnesota, he was just around ordinary grassroots people instead of the rich ones in California. But anyway, Prince is gone, and we just have to move on, So, all right, smart quiz question on the George Wilder Jr. Show. How many representatives are there in Congress? I will have that. I can tell you that right off the top of my head. I don't have to go research it. Okay. And I have another question down here. Who inspires you? I think the person, if I can take the question myself, and if you want to call in and chime in on the question, 347-857-1762. You can also, we're also talking about Prince. So, I mean, it's like a diversion away from talking about the troubles that we're having in Illinois in terms of a state budget. And it is a reprieve, kind of. And I'm glad of that. And also the weather outside my window is looking totally menacing. And we have about 20 minutes left into the show, so we'll try to make it through it. And if you hear any breaking up or cracking on your end, then it's probably the bad weather that's coming, because every time there's bad weather, there's always some sort of technical difficulty in the broadcasting. And that can be just about anywhere. It doesn't have to be totally my show. It could be any show, television show, radio show, anything that, uses electricity, I'm supposed, energy. All right, you're listening to the Talk of Our Times. It's the George Wilder Jr. Show, a little bit choking up because of the death of Prince, as so many other people are around the country and around the world. And it's just something. It's just something that we could all die at any minute from now. Life is guaranteed to no one. And music has changed, for the worst. I mean, because if I listen to music, folks, and I love music, I think I was born wanting to play music, wanting to listen to it, wanting to be a part of it. And I was for a while. I around 16 or 17 years old, I had my own band. Wasn't much of a band, but we did draw a crowd every now and then. One of the things I did not like about the band after a while was that I wasn't quite with playing cover songs all the time. We did a lot of cover songs. Cover songs are just songs that we played that were by other artists, other singers, other musicians. We played other people's songs. We did not play any of our own songs. And that pissed me off. After a while, that pissed me off. I was sick and tired of playing other people's songs. I think I wrote about this. I was sick and tired of playing other people's songs. I wanted to play our own songs. I wanted to be original. I didn't want to be like someone else. I wanted to be original. I wanted us to be ourselves and play our own music and, be a talent with. Playing cover songs were okay, but after a while, I was the only one in the band that was sick and tired of them playing cover songs. I had nothing against them. They were great songs, great cover songs, but I just wanted to play my own material. And I started doing that. And the other fellas, they fell in line. they fell in. So I started writing songs for the band. I didn't write that many, but we still did cover songs, but not as many as we had done before. So, but basically we were playing our own songs, and that was great. And then we wind up disbanding because there was so much friction between us. We had personal problems, and people brought their personal problems to rehearsal, and arguments and fights. And so we decided to disband, but actually we really disbanded when our equipment was stolen. And at that time we couldn't afford anything. We couldn't afford more instruments. So that ended that. But I had fun in the band. I had fun, and it was great. I had many opportunities after that to join other bands, but I decided not to. I don't know what was wrong with me. I don't know. But anyway, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the day that Prince died. So I'm talking about my own musical legacy, because it that kind of reminisces with the tragedy that happened to Prince. And I just don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. And my favorite song by Prince, as you probably know, is the one I've been playing in this episode of the show, which is When Doves Cry. Even though I thought Purple Rain itself, the song itself, not the movie, but the song, was one of the greatest things, one of the greatest musical achievements of Prince. Because it was just it was awesome, man. What can I tell you? If you haven't heard Purple Rain by Prince, if you haven't seen the movie Purple Rain by Prince, check them out. I'm pretty sure you can find them anywhere. I mean, especially now with the death of Prince, a lot of his material is going to be easily found. A lot of his songs and albums are going to be purchased. You know, I mean, people are going to go out and buy his stuff now. I'm listening to his songs, you know, songs I haven't listened to in years. But his song, one of his songs, Party Till 1999, I mean, that was embedded in American culture. That was the number one song. I mean, you've heard that song everywhere. I mean, if you went to the nightclubs or, you know, went out partying, that was one of the songs that they played. Because it was danceable, and I totally remember it. I totally recall it, and people are listening to the same song, "Party Till You," "Party Like 1999." That was one of Prince's greatest songs, and he will be missed. I'm gonna start listening to some more of his stuff. You know, it's a shame when you gotta do things like listen to songs that you haven't heard in a long time just because a musician died. You want to try and keep that musician, that especially keep his or her music alive. And that's what I want to do. I want to help, and I hope you do too. I want to help to keep Prince's music alive. He's gone, but his music still lives. I will be right back, folks. Thanks.
Sometimes we'll
All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I wanted to talk about Karen Lewis, the president of the Teachers Union in Chicago. She called Rauner, she called the governor of this state, Bruce Rauner, ISIS recruit. Because, okay, I found out the meaning to why she called him such a, you know, terrorist. And she did that because he cut so many programs in the state of Illinois. He's hurting the middle class. He's hurting the poor. And he is, folks. He truly is. So she called him a terrorist. She said, why isn't Homeland Security checking this guy out? So she is really in the governor's ass. I don't blame her. I think I love her straight talk. She's saying that he's cutting programs left and right for schools, universities, colleges, and he is. He's taking money away from schools. He hates labor. He's saying that Bruce Rauner says that he loves Illinois. How can he love Illinois if he hates labor? Because labor is Illinois, okay? And she is dead in this guy's butt. I'm glad to see and hear somebody talking straight talk about this governor. Mary Rahm Emanuel can't do that. Forrest Claypool can't do that. These guys, they when they talk about the governor, I mean, they criticize him, but they do it with light rhetoric. You know, they try to be statesmanlike when they are criticizing him. Karen Lewis just comes out and just calls him a sociopath. She comes out and just lays it on the line. She doesn't try to be diplomatic. She doesn't try to sweeten the rhetoric. She comes out here and says what a lot of us wish we could say about this guy. Because a lot of people are thinking really awful thoughts about him, but they can't. They don't have the microphone that she has. They don't have the microphone that I have to get this stuff out there. So she's representing thousands and thousands and thousands of teachers in the union, okay? And Bruce Rauner hates unions, and she brought this up saying that this guy really hates union. Unions, and he does. So if he hates unions and he wants to get rid of unions, that means he wants to get rid of Karen Lewis because she is the president of the teachers union. So she's, you know, retaliating against Bruce Rauner only with words, though, verbally words, because she's saying Bruce Rauner, he's stepping on the poor, which he is. And she's saying the only way that we can get back at this guy, we have to fight back because he's fighting us. And she's true. And that's the truth. And I just wish other people would say those kinds of things. Be straight and direct. If you have to get in the gutter with this governor telling him that he's a failure, get in the gutter. Don't try to be so diplomatic and statesmanlike. He's going to spit on you if you try to do that. You got to be in the gutter with this man in order to fight him back because he's ruining this state. He's done nothing for this state. It's going on 2 years and he's done exactly nothing. Why is he still in office? This state, he's cutting, all he's doing is hurting this state. He's not doing anything to help it. The more he hurts this state, the more he blames others for it. And that's wrong. That is totally wrong. So I'm with Karen Lewis somewhat on this. I'm not with her on the terrorist charge. I don't think Bruce Rauner has the balls to be a terrorist recruit. They wouldn't want him. Just like Illinois doesn't want him as governor. But he's everything else she's saying. Everything else. And I'm glad that she took the time to say these things. And, you know, she's not shy about criticizing this guy. He's an asshole. Basically is what she called him, a sociopath, a terrorist. I wonder, and he hasn't said anything. I mean, his spokesman, they have came out and said, well, that's not the kind of talk we should have around our children. They don't care two damns about the kids in Illinois. He doesn't give a damn about the children in Chicago public schools. If he did give a damn about those children, he would not be trying or wanting to take away $74 million away from an already strapped schools and giving it to the schools downstate, the suburban schools, the schools that really do not need the money. He's Robin Hood in reverse, taking from the poor and giving it to the rich instead of the other way around. So I applaud her for that. You know, that, and I'm pretty sure his minions, yeah, they're running around the state defying her. But he's right. Majority of the people in Illinois, even the people who work for the state of Illinois, they know she's right. And if she hadn't gotten sick about 2 years ago, if she hadn't gotten sick, she would, Karen Lewis would right now be the mayor of Chicago if she hadn't got sick. So Rahm Emanuel, oh, his term in office to Karen Lewis because she got sick. She would have been the mayor of Chicago. She would have. I think Rahm is a failure. I do. I think Rahm Emanuel is a one big ass failure. He's a weak mayor, and he can't get most of anything done. He's got to propose stuff, and most of his proposals are just blowing in the wind. Yeah, they're still doing prints, and I guess they're going to be doing prints for the entire week. This show is going to be off for 3 days. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to relax, take a break, and do some writing. I will be back here on Monday, folks. Hopefully a little bit more spirited. Hopefully. And it's just awesome that Prince passed away. And we're going to take it out with this. Wow, he was 57. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. This show will always be labeled the show that I've done on the day that Prince passed away. And I will be right back, folks. I will be back on Monday. We're going to take 3 days off, as we always do. We are on Monday through Friday. Monday through Friday. Monday through Thursday. I didn't know he was short by two. Maybe being